Father, as we dig into your word this morning, Lord, just fill our hearts with understanding. Open up our minds and our ears to hear what the Spirit would speak to the church. Bless the teaching of your word. Thank you, Lord, for just the wonderful word that you share with us, Lord, and through just that we have the Bible to study. It ministers to our needs. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to be looking at a little story. I call it the biography of Simeon, and it is very short. But, you know, years ago, when Delene and I lived in Southern California, we used to enjoy, actually, we would drive around the Beverly Hills area. Now, you know, we were young, you know, very young. And so we had this fascination with Beverly Hills because we thought, you know, we both came from the country, and it was really something for us to know that we were living close to celebrities. And so we had to go, and you know, you could only see the gates of the houses, though. The houses are so far back and they're secluded, and there's a little bit of a disappointment. But you know, there is something about a celebrity status, and we read about them in the news, and it's I don't know what it is about people that are celebrities that draws us. And this man Simeon, he was like just the opposite of the celebrity. You won't find his name on the footprint of Hollywood Walk of Fame. He's not listed anywhere in Celebrity Who's Who. In fact, you will not read about Simeon anywhere except right in this passage. There's no books. There are no secular biographies. We don't know where Simeon was born. We don't know where he died. However, we do have this very short, concise biographical portrait of Simeon penned by Luke under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is I call it a biography inspired by God. It's interesting how God does view people. God can sum up a person's life in very few words. When man writes a biography, he may interview the family. He goes to the friends, the associates who know the subject. They gather the information, and usually people remember the very best about a person. Often a biography is even maybe an embellishment, you know, upon those things about a person. And so God goes straight to the character of a person because God knows a man or a woman better than we know ourselves. Man looks upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. Whatever God would say or write about either of us is based upon a perfect knowledge of what God knows about the heart of a man. He will never embellish. God doesn't fabricate information in order to sell books. And here is this short, concise biography penned by Luke, but it was authored by God. The title of this message, The Biography of Simeon. First, I believe the best way to describe Simeon would be to look at what God would say about his character. And second, we're going to be looking at Simeon's passion. Look down with me at verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Everything that we need to know about Simeon, I think it's contained in this single verse. Look with me, first of all, his character, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man, it says that he was just and he was devout. There are two words that describe Simeon. The first word is just. The second word is devout. We're going to examine those two words. What is just as obvious about Simeon is what has been left out. You may have noticed that this biography, it contains no physical description of Simeon. We don't know whether Simeon was tall. We don't know whether he was short. We don't know anything about the color of his hair. We don't know anything about Simeon as far as his visual appearance. And as you look through the Word of God, and specifically the New Testament, you usually do not find a complete description of what people look like. Even as I was driving over, I was thinking, who in the Bible, you know, like who in the New Testament, you know, was described? And I thought, Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus, he was a little short man. And that's because, you know, he had to get up into the tree to see Jesus. But we don't see these physical description because when God is looking at you or I, he's not examining this outward appearance. What God is looking at is he's looking at our heart. He's looking at our character, who we are in heart. And it's always a good thing, I think, that we allow God to examine the heart. David wrote and he said, Lord, he said, search me, O God. And he said, know my heart. And that should be the prayer of each of us is God, you know the heart. God knew the heart of Simeon and he was found to be just and devout. When we see anything about a person that is pleasing to God, first of all, we recognize that it is God made and not man made. Because the Word of God says that there are none righteous, that there are no, not one. But one of my favorite passages, I quote it often, I like to quote it to myself, is that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God is working on the inside. Now, I would like for God to be able to work a little more on the outside sometimes, but he doesn't do that. He goes right into the heart because that's what matters to God about a person. I think what is beautiful about that is that we can all have what is pleasing to God. Because we are his workmanship. But it does require something on our part. It requires a life of obedience. And it requires a life of surrender. And maybe I should reverse those. Maybe first of all it requires surrender. And then out of surrender there comes the life of obedience. And we just simply surrender ourselves unto the Lord. And God empowers us to obey his word. And so there is very little said that describes Simeon's character. But we can safely assume that Simeon, he was surrendered to God. And he was obedient to the word of God. So we look at that word just. The word just can actually be translated as innocent. It simply means that Simeon was innocent in his character. We sometimes, when we think of innocence, we think of childlike behavior, childlike innocence. What does the word of God said? If you want to be, you know, enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be like a what? Child. Yes. So this innocence of character, what that means is that if Simeon were a businessman, we don't know what he did, but if Simeon were a businessman, he would have been honest in all of his dealings. Simeon was the type of man who would have made certain in business that if he was selling a product that you got what you asked for. Have you ever bought a product that was not all that it was advertised to be? And you think, you know, man, that was just a complete ripoff. It happens. Simeon would never rip anyone off. In fact, what a difference that is from our culture today. But Simeon, he just had this reputation in the community wherever he lived. Everyone knew that Simeon was an honest man. It was his reputation. Jesus said, "Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from where? They come from the heart. They come from the heart and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But it is also true that it is out of the heart that proceeds those things that are pleasing to God." out of the heart. I think sometimes our conversation is filled with dishonesty. A person talks to you, you can sense that they maybe are not being exactly honest in their words, but Simeon was the kind of man, when you talked to him, there was just a transparency, and there was an honesty, and there was a matter of character that you just looked at and goes, this is a great man of great character. I think it's a wonderful compliment if a person's character, you know, those around him would say that they're just, they're innocent. But the great compliment is when God can look on the inside of us and say, there is a just man. There is an innocent man, innocent in his dealings, innocent in his conversation. And Simeon was known by God as being a just man. There's a second word that is used to describe the character of Simeon. It is the word devout. Now that word devout, it's not a word that we, you know, it's not a common word that we use today. We sometimes use it in the sense of a relationship, a marriage relationship. But a devout is devoted, it is sincere, it is dedicated. You know, there are many devout people in the world today, but there are relatively few who are devout to God. Every once in a while, I watch a football game. You know, especially if you're traveling and you're at a restaurant, it's up there on the big screen. But what I notice about football is how devout the fans are. And I think to myself, they're jumping up and down, they're yelling, they're screaming, and a lot of them are acting like complete idiots. But you know, if you do that in church, I say, man, those guys are fanatics. Those people are weird. You know, they look at us, you know, if we, you know, just raise our hands or we clap or do something, you know, it's like, oh, you know. But imagine if we did in church like, you know, that happens at the football game. I mean, it's just that people would think there's very strange folks there. But there are people who are absolutely devout to their sports. They're devout to their hobbies. There are some that never go to church because they are devout to something other than God. And they don't want to give it up. But God desires for you and I to have that devotion to Him. That does not rule out hobbies. It does not rule out interests, but it just simply means that God is to be first. He is to be number one in our life. Simeon was devout. God was number one. There was God first, and everything else was second, third, and last. And that's what God is looking for in the devout man or woman of God. That was the character of Simeon. What a great commentary on the life of a man or woman to be devout. What about Simeon's passion? The word passion is synonymous with, I think it's like a craving. And I thought, what a great way to describe passion. You know, when we think of a craving, we usually think of our appetite. Have you ever had like a craving for a certain food? And it's like, man, I've just got to have that. And you know, so it can be in the middle of the night and you have this craving for, you know, whatever, for a chocolate candy bar, you know. And so that happens to me, to be quite honest. It's usually in the middle of the night and that's my weakest moment. I get a craving. But this is a craving in a good sense. It's craving is like an intense desire. And it says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That was the craving. That was the passion. That was his sole desire, was to see the consolation of Israel. You'll notice that that word consolation, it's a title, it's capitalized in your Bible. It's because it's one of the many titles of the Messiah. And it means to be an encourager. It means to be the comforter. And Simeon was waiting for the encourager of Israel. You could say, I like to just put it this way, that Simeon was craving Jesus. Very simple. Verse 26, it says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Somehow the Holy Spirit spoke into the life of Simeon, "Simeon, you won't die." Now remember, he was an old man. "You will not die until you see the Christ." It was his lifelong passion. Being a devout man, you can be certain that Simeon, he probably, you know, he knew the Word of God. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the prophecies concerning the Christ. It wouldn't surprise me if he had already worked out Daniel chapter 9. And he knew the time was coming close. But it says that the Holy Spirit spoke to him. I have known some devout men and women of God. And I will say, without exception, those who are devout, those who are devoted, those who have a craving, those who have a passion, they also have the deep love of the Word of God. Simeon knew from Scripture that the time must be getting close. It could be that Simeon had studied the Bible and he just knew, but it just says that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. You know, I think there's nothing like when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, something personal, something you desire, something you long for, and the Holy Spirit encourages you and just, it's not that it's an audible voice. I don't know whether Simeon heard an audible voice, but it just says that the Holy Spirit revealed, it spoke to him. "You're going to see the Christ." But the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. And now that moment that Simeon had been waiting for, it's arrived, and it was the greatest anticipation of Simeon's life. It was his passion to see the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit said, "Simeon, he's here. He's been born." And it had been about 40 days since the birth of Jesus. Among the Hebrews, a mother was required to remain at home for about 40 days after the birth of a male child, and during that time she was considered to be impure. She was not permitted to go to the temple or to engage in religious services. You will notice that it says in verse 22, "Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Now, so for 40 days, Mary, you know, she would have been confined in home, and she is now able to venture out. And that first trip that is made is to Jerusalem to dedicate Jesus to the Lord and to offer sacrifices. Now, this was a necessary trip in order to fulfill the law of God, which declares every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And so an offering was to be made at the temple. Simeon had been waiting, and he'd been waiting, and he knew that there was no better place to wait than at the temple. Simeon was aware of this fulfillment of the law and the necessity, and so he goes to the temple, and there he is waiting. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Simeon and said, "Simeon, it is now time. And the one that you've been waiting for has arrived." And Simeon, he's led by the Spirit into the temple, and there he waits with great anticipation. Now I have to stop here just for a moment, because how many of you would agree we live in a very materialistic world? We do. How many of you feel like at times you're materialistic yourself? Okay? It applies to all of us. We can all be materialistic. But part of materialism is that we look and we desire and we want. And maybe the very first for me, maybe the first great desire was a bicycle when I was a little boy. And then it was a Tonka truck. And then it graduated from a Tonka truck to a real truck. And so I think about that progression of what you desire. And I think, you know, the greatest, what I anticipated the most when I was young was when I could drive. And when I could have my own vehicle. And so there was that day that came when I got my new vehicle, and it was a beautiful candy apple red, you know, pickup truck. Now remember, this is Montana. This is Hickville, basically. So everybody drove pickups. And so the higher the truck off the ground, the better, you know, the whole thing was. And so I got the highest pickup that I could get at that time. And so I just remember the anticipation of having that materialistic possession that I desired so much. Now let's look at Simeon. Now here's a man. His great desire was not for a new camel. His great desire was not for a new house. His great desire was not for anything materialistic. The heart of Simeon was so pure and it was so good that his desire was for Christ. And you see, that's the desire that God wants all of us to have. You know, yes, we live in a materialistic society. And we do have wants and desires, but Jesus is to be number one. And that is to be our great passion, our great desire. And I believe that in and of itself is a work of the Holy Spirit. That is not our work. That is God's work within us that gives us, the Word of God says, both the desire to will and to do His good pleasure. And so now here at the temple, Mary and Joseph arrive and they come into the temple, and Simeon, he's watching, and he comes up and he takes this little baby into his arms and he blessed God. Verse 25 through 29, they give this background, but the setting for one of the most beautiful passages in the New Testament about the Lord's Savior is verse 25 through 29, and we see this beautiful picture here. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. And here's the beauty. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. For my eyes have seen the salvation. And I thought about that verse and I thought, that echoes each one of us, because we have seen the salvation of God and we have received Him and believed in Him. And we are saved. And Simeon's passion was to see Jesus. And now at this time, Simeon, he doesn't know the name Jesus, but you will notice that isn't necessary. He just simply says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Someone once said, you know, salvation isn't just the act of God. Salvation is the person of God. It is the person of Jesus Christ. He is salvation in human form. And it was enough for Simeon to declare and just simply say, man, I've seen your salvation. It's been the passion of my life. And he's holding this little baby. And there he is, holding the child. And he said, I've seen the salvation. You know, the greatest words of assurance that a person can speak before man and God is to say, I have seen God's salvation and that I am saved. There is no greater assurance. There are no greater words that you could speak and know in your heart is that you have seen the salvation of God and you have received that salvation and that you know that you are saved. To be honest, I don't know how people in the world can live without knowing God's salvation, but they do. And many reject God's salvation. They don't want to get too close. They don't want religion. They don't want church. They don't want anything to do with God. And they refuse to look upon the salvation of God. And so many do not realize that to deny Jesus is to deny God's salvation. Because Jesus is the very person of salvation. As we celebrate Christmas this year, we are celebrating Jesus as Savior. According to the biography of Simeon, these were his final words. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For what? My eyes have seen your salvation. I don't know about you, but I interpret that passage to say that it's not just he's walking out of the temple. I think it's I'm walking on from life here on this earth. I'm going into my heavenly home. And he says, but it's okay now because I've seen what I long to see, and that is the salvation of God. And so Simeon now says, now I can depart in peace. It's absolutely wonderful when you can live in peace, but I'll tell you what, it's even better if you can die in peace. Isn't that just great? To know the salvation of God while you live, and to know the salvation of God as you take your final breath, and to know that the salvation of God simply means that you're redeemed, you're saved. Sin has no hold upon you. Satan has no grasp upon your soul. It has been redeemed, and you're saved. And those were the final words of Simeon. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Father in heaven, we're blessed that we look back on this particular story. Though it was long ago, yet, Lord, today that we still see your salvation in Christ. Just as Simeon saw you, Lord, and blessed and just, was in awe. The passion of his heart and of his entire life. May it be so with us. Lord, help us to keep this balance, this perspective, this passion, Lord, of you first above all else. And it's these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.